this great lineup of three different observers of Obama and analysts of American politics. The first is Andy Rudalevich from Bowdoin College, and he's an expert on presidential authority and presidential administration. He's written a couple of terrific books on the president's legislative program and on the growth of the new imperial presidency, as he calls it. And he often blogs at the Monkey Cage, which is a political science and politics blog that works off the Washington Post's website. The second is Annie Lowry, who's a contributing editor for New York Magazine, where she covers the economy and politics. Before that, she worked for the New York Times and for Slate and for Foreign Affairs. She's currently one-third of a podcast that Slate hosts called Podcast for America with Alex Wagner and Mark Leibovich. And Annie's really one of the sort of bright, sharp young reporters on the intersection of politics and economics and talking about economic policy and taxes and things of that nature. And then our third is Alvin Tillery from Northwestern University. And Al is primarily a scholar of American political development and race and ethnicity, so how changes in how American politics has looked and who's been incorporated in American politics can be traced back through time. And Al had a really interesting article last year in the Washington Post about the depiction of Lyndon Johnson in the movie Selma, Al arguing that African-American leaders at the time viewed Johnson as an ally and would have really been disappointed and dismayed about how he's depicted as such a sort of a resistant and recalcitrant actor for the civil rights movement in Selma. So we've got different perspectives from Andy talking about presidential power, might get into some more powers, war on terror stuff, as well as intra-branch management, Annie, who thinks a lot about the economy, and Al, who's really an expert on race and politics.
And to the subject of the panel, how do you think President Obama's presidency and leadership is currently viewed?
You know, it's a good question. I think the challenge with Obama is that when Obama came to office, or when he rose through the Democratic Party, beginning with his famous 2004 speech at the Democratic National Convention and then defeating Hillary Clinton in the primary and ultimately beating John McCain in 2008, Obama was sort of viewed as a rock star, as a transcendent figure, as a transformational leader, of someone who had natural gifts and abilities of leadership, of persuasion, of rhetoric, of intellectual heft that were viewed as widely desirable and popular and made him a really charismatic figure. If we look, you know, 7, 8, 10 years later, depending on our starting point for thinking about Obama's rise, and Obama's had some struggles. Part of that has been partisan polarization. Part of that has been that Obama has disappointed the left of his party on some things. So Obama currently sits in this really peculiar position of there are people both in his own party who view him as being too moderate, and yet there's an entire other party, the Republican Party, as we can see by watching any debate, who views him as being way too liberal. And so Obama, who came to office, if we recall, articulating himself as a post-partisan president, someone who wasn't clearly defined by ideological labels, is kind of been caught between ideological labels to some extent. And so I think there are still a good number of Democrats and independents who view Obama favorably, but there are certainly people, the majority of the Republican Party, vast majority of the Republican Party perhaps, and even some on the left of his own party that have been disappointed with things Obama's done or hasn't done. Of course, the things that liberals and conservatives are disappointed with are precisely the opposite of one another.
Do you think that that current view will change as the years pass and there's more analysis of his presidency?
You know, I'm optimistic for him. If you asked me today, I would say that, you know, 30 years from now, Obama will probably go down as a top 12 or 15 president in those rankings of presidential greatness. It's tough because on the one hand, Obama has actually had some really significant policy achievements, whether it was the passage of the Affordable Care Act in domestic policy or whether it was the capturing of Osama bin Laden, obviously something, a hunt that had been going on well before Obama, but something that Obama obviously gave the green light for in foreign policy, or whether it's things that maybe Obama doesn't deserve credit for but will be associated with his campaign, such as the legalization of gay marriage nationally. I think that in time, Obama's reputation, historical reputation, will be more kind than it currently is. But the sort of wild card in there is that we have reached a point of such deep and nasty polarization in politics generally and about Obama specifically that it's hard to know what it'll take for that nastiness and that polarization to sort of fade away and melt. Because I think if we step back and look at his accomplishments fairly dispassionately, we'll see that this has been an accomplished presidency. Has he done all of the things that he set out to do? Absolutely not. No president does. But he has done things that other presidents have wanted to do and been unable to do, and he has done things that I think most people would say have improved the lives of Americans and kept the American economy from falling too far, thinking about the bailout and the stimulus package, and for doing things that will in time be viewed as positive developments in American politics.
And you mentioned the polarization of American politics. How do you think President Obama has impacted the American political system?
Yeah, it's a tough question to answer, right? As I said, he came to office thinking about himself as a postpartisan leader, thinking about someone who is above party. And then for much of his first term, he spent trying to win over Republicans on issues such as health care, which he ultimately got passed, but was unsuccessful in really winning over Republicans. He has been someone who has not, or was not for much of his first term, really looking to be aggressive in terms of his partisan politics. And in fact, there's a lot of people in the Democratic Party who are disappointed that Obama was not a more hard-edged partisan leader. As he's moved into his second term, Obama has seemed more willing to make those sorts of arguments, more willing to poke at the Republicans for things that he thinks are silly or problematic or tragic, things like the opposition of the Republican Party to gun control, or the sorts of things that Republican candidates are saying about him. He has long been a lightning rod for controversy, which is sort of ironic because one of the mottos of the White House, or one of the jokes they tell, is about no drama Obama, as, you know, him being someone who does not like drama surrounding him and likes to operate in a more cool, rational place. And yet he's someone who has this controversy that has surrounded him and this polarization that has engulfed him. And I think he tried in the first term to look for ways to navigate that, not very successfully. And in the second term, I think he's looked for fewer ways to navigate that. I still continue to think that he's not really a very aggressive partisan about things. And indeed, if we look at recently with the Trans-Pacific Partnership as one example, he's done things or been willing to do things that will alienate his own party. I think Obama thinks about himself as a Democrat, clearly, but an independent thinker. And that places him in a very peculiar place in a political system that is more partisan and polarized than it's been in a long time.
How do you think the racial tension in the country, will that leave a stamp at all on President Obama's presidency?
This is probably the single biggest question for me about what Obama's impact on American politics is. For a lot of people, Obama's victory in 2008 was something to be celebrated, not only because they liked him as a candidate, but because of the historic significance of an African American being elected to the nation's highest political office. When we look forward from that moment, it's been a period of increased racial tension and increased dialogue, sometimes productive, sometimes unproductive, about race. And there's been a lot of opposition that I think political scientists and historians will look back on as being, in some sense, racially motivated, even if it wasn't racially explicit, at least tapping into sort of implicit racial animus and bias. Obama, as the first black president, is this sort of fascinating figure in thinking about what's going to happen to race politics from here on out. Are we going to go back to where we were before Obama, or has the leadership of an African American sort of repolarized racial attitudes in America in a way that's going to last? That is, for me, the single most interesting question about the legacy of Obama going forward, is what political scientists and historians, especially those who are experts on race and ethnicity, are going to say in 10 years or 15 years about the 8 years that we've just had.
Over President Obama's two terms, do you think he's at all altered the international role of the United States?
I think that there are some ways in which Obama has tried to reach out and have a more multilateral approach to foreign policy than George Bush was critiqued for having. I mean, if we think about something like the Iran deal, which we've seen the Republican candidates say they would all effectively rip up on day one, maybe not all of them, I guess John Kasich hasn't said that, but most of them have said they'd rip it up on day one and refuse to make any deal with Iran. Most of the Republicans had said that they would get tougher with someone like Vladimir Putin. Obama has been less hard-edged on those things and more trying to build coalitions, trying to use soft power, trying to think about other ways of diplomacy. So on that side of the ledger, perhaps, to somewhat. But then on the other hand, there's been the continuation of Bush administration war on terror policies. Obama had pledged to close the prison at Guantanamo Bay and was unable to do that. Obama has normalized or begun the process of normalizing relations with Cuba, but there still continue to be tensions with Russia and China. Has increased perhaps the use of drone warfare, and obviously the questions that Edward Snowden raised, which were not of Obama's doing, but policies that Obama knew about and in some sense has continued, others of those have fallen by the wayside, are sort of reflections of, I think, a recognition that presidents as presidents have interests that they would argue are about protecting the country and protecting national security that transcend partisan lines. So I think there's a lot of people for whom, even as Obama has perhaps tried to be less unilateral in thinking about foreign policy than someone like George Bush, and perhaps less interventionist in thinking about foreign policy than someone like George Bush, he's very much been in line with a lot of Bush administration policies on the war on terror.
And finally, Justin, you might have already touched on many of these, but I just wanted to see from your view, what do you see as the key or defining elements of President Obama's time in office?
The importance of the Affordable Care Act can't be overstated. You can't say too many good things about the Affordable Care Act as a policy achievement. This is something that Democratic presidents have been trying to do since Harry Truman, and Obama was the one who got it done, and that's significant. And that is, a landmark public policy initiative. It's obviously been an incredibly controversial one, with Republicans across the country running against it and Republicans in Congress repeatedly trying to repeal it. But I think any consideration of President Obama's legacy, whether good or bad, has to think about the Affordable Care Act as a sort of fundamental piece. Some of the other things that come to mind are obviously the collapse of the economy or the beginning of the recession in 2008 and Obama's stimulus package as a way that most economists have now recognized as something that saved the economy from falling into greater depths and prevented even more unemployment is something that will probably be remembered. The bin Laden capture, again, not something that Obama sort of began the hunt for. That was under George W. Bush, and there was an attempt to capture Osama bin Laden by Bill Clinton before him, even before 9/11. But that will be something that we will also remember, that iconic image of the president and Hillary Clinton and Joe Biden in the Situation Room as they're trying to capture Osama bin Laden. So those are a couple things that I would regard as fundamental. You know, there are things that go on in the political system more broadly, and the question is how much do those get tied to Obama versus how much do those exist as things that happened during the Obama era. So whether that's on the race side, something like Trayvon Martin or the Ferguson protests, or on the LGBT side, something like the Supreme Court's decision in Obergefell versus Hodges to nationalize same-sex marriage. Those are things that happened during Obama's time, and they're not necessarily things that Obama should get blame or credit for, but they are things that are going to go down as part and parcel of what we'll think about 40 years from now as the Obama era in American politics.